Hi, I'm Govind Jayaraman, and this is Paper Napkin Wisdom. Today we have Patrick Thean. Patrick is an extraordinary entrepreneur. He's a coach, the founder of the Rhythm Coaching System and Software. He has a very interesting message, and I know you're going to enjoy my conversation with Patrick.
Patrick, welcome to Paper Napkin Wisdom. I'm excited that you joined me here today.
Hey, thank you for inviting me. It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you.
So you shared with me a very interesting paper napkin, and you've got three words underlined, but maybe I can first get you to describe the paper napkin for everyone listening.
Sure. So it says, to listen better, be truly curious, you just might learn something. And what I've found is that, most leadership books will tell you that listening is a key ingredient or key characteristic of how to be a better leader. But few really tell you how to actually listen better. And as we coach a lot of CEOs and they tell me the challenges, I realized one day that if you were truly, truly curious, you would actually listen much, much better. And so that to me was the secret. That to me was the leading indicator of whether or not I was going to have a good day listening, was whether I had true curiosity.
I think that's fascinating, and I think you're right. I think we get told a lot, especially in these leadership books, that say, hey, all characteristic of all great leaders is that all great leaders listen intently. But this notion of curiosity is really important, and you really did underline listen and curious because you believe those two things to be tied, right?
Yes, absolutely. So one of my favorite books is Marshall Goldsmith's What Got You Here Won't Get You There. And Marshall talks about these habits, right? And of course, in those habits, one of them is go work on your listening. And so a lot of my clients will read that book and then they'll work with me. I'm a CEO coach, as you know, and they will then talk about how do we improve listening. So they've tried all kinds of things, you know, from shutting off the computer screen, all kinds of things. And one day a customer asked me, he said, well, you seem to be a really good listener. And I said, hey, I'm a coach, it's my job. He says, no, you seem to be a really good listener. Can you tell me your secret? And I couldn't really tell him my secret, so I thought hard about it. And I came to this realization that I actually insist on myself being curious before I engage with a customer. And so, my core competency here is, you know, leading indicators, key performance indicators. And I'm supposed to be really good at that. But no matter how many times I've gone to see a client, a new client or an existing client, and I ask them about the KPIs, I realized that I'm actually curious about what I'm going to hear. So I never go into a room going, hey, KPIs, I got this topic, done. I always go in thinking, what am I going to learn about the KPIs that I've never heard before? And so I am truly, truly curious.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting because I think curiosity is different than just interest, right? I mean,
yes.
So you could be very interested in what somebody has to say, but not genuinely curious. And curious comes from a place of humility to some degree, right?
I hope so. I don't really know. But I do know this. I do know that, I've tried a lot of things with my clients. I've said, hey, I want you to go ask more questions. So sometimes they'll go in and say, okay, I've got to ask more questions. But I noticed that if I told them to just be curious, and if they could truly be curious, then the questions would automatically come. So in other words, if you're having a conversation with me and you are truly curious, you will have no trouble formulating questions.
Yeah, and that makes so much sense because so often in these Paper Napkin Wisdom podcasts, someone asked me, wow, you ask really great questions. How did you ask those questions? And I really don't have anything prepared, but I am genuinely curious. But for me, that comes from a vulnerability of not knowing all the answers. It comes from a humility that I'm willing – I'm here to learn. I'm here to be taught. And is that the approach that you're suggesting that we take as leaders?
Yes, I'm suggesting that. And I also would suggest that, you know, this works great, not just in your company, but it works great in your family life. And I think that the biggest challenge is when we are working with people that we think we know really well, and we automatically assume that we know what they're going to say. So just to give you a quick example, I've got two wonderful daughters. You know, Nicole is 11, Joy's 15. And I noticed a typical pattern. So like, for example, the other day, my wife, Payee, and you know what I say about Payee, right? She's the payee, and I'm the payer.
That's
so,
right.
So Payee wanted Joy to accompany her to a meeting, to meet somebody. And Joy didn't want to go. So Payee and I talked about it later, and Payee said, you know, Joy was too shy. You know, Joy, my daughter's kind of shy. I said, she didn't want to go. And so I said, really? So I went and I asked Joy. I said, Joy, you know, mommy asked you to go to this, to meet this friend with her, and you didn't want to go. I'd like to know why. And I ask it in a way where I'm not, hey, I'd like to know why, you know. It's more like, I'm curious. I want to understand why. So I use words with my daughters like, Daddy's trying to understand why. I'd like to understand your point of view. And she said to me, she said, you know, mommy told me that she wanted me to meet this person today, today. She told me this today. And I said, okay. And she said, well, it wasn't on my schedule. And I said, and that's a problem? She goes, yes, that's a problem. I don't want it to go do a meeting when I'm not, it's not on my schedule. So I learned something about my daughter. That's why I said, you know, to listen better, be truly curious. You just might learn something. So what I learned about my daughter was that she is process and planned oriented. I did not realize that. Now, I am more happy-go-lucky. I'm more like, hey, we can do a 2 o'clock thing. Fine, I can fit you in. Bam, let's go. But it wasn't because she was shy. Even though she is shy, she didn't want to go to this meeting, not because she was shy, but it was because it was brought upon her abruptly, and I said, did you have something else to do that day? And she says, no, but I would like to have had better notice. So I learned a lot about my daughter, right? That it wasn't just she was shy. It was because she didn't get enough notice. It was an interruption to her schedule. And I think oftentimes parents automatically think they know how their children are going to react, you know, because we know them so well. And that's when we misunderstand each other. That's why I think sometimes people who are great friends, sometimes their friendship gets rubbed the wrong way because they're not listening to each other anymore because they're assuming they know what the other person's going to say.
Yeah, and that assumption comes from, you know, the fact that we have some kind of knowledge about everybody, that we don't need to have that conversation. It comes from somewhere else. And that's really easy to apply in the business world. And I think, if we're honest about it, we do this a lot in our personal lives. I don't know that we want to admit it as often that we do it, right? I mean, it's just something we do. We jump to these conclusions all the time. You did this for this reason, but it might have nothing to do with it.
That's right. And the more you know the person, the more often you do that, I would say. So I joke about this sometimes. You know, sometimes you see partners, they work well together, and then about 5, 6, 7 years later, they don't work very well together. Well, I guarantee you that none of the partners would say to each other, hey, I want to partner with you, but in about 7 years, I'm going to think you're a real, you know, jerk to work with. Right?
Yeah.
So you don't start your business partnership expecting to do that. But somehow, lots of partnerships break after 6, 7, 8 years. And why is that? And so related to this, I think, is sometimes we may have lost that curiosity of trying to really seek to understand what our partners are saying versus, yep, he said A and B, and I can finish his sentence with C.
Okay, so what do you do to be in that deliberately curious place going into a conversation? How do you put your head into curiosity from assumption?
So it starts from the belief that I'm going to learn something. That's where it begins. I tell myself, I want to learn something about this person or during this conversation. And so it begins from that position. And I guess you said it earlier, you said from a position of humility. So I think about what you said. I think you're right. I think it is from a position of saying, hey, not that I know what you're going to say, but it's more that, I'm curious about what you're about to say. I think it comes from a place of wanting to understand, wanting to learn. And for me, I can tell you, it comes from a place where I want to care. I care. So if I care, I want to know. And if I want to know, then I'm going to be curious. Now, this whole, you know, be truly curious is something that I've been actively doing probably only in the last year, because my clients pushed me to answer that question. He said, Patrick, you know, you come in and every time it feels like we're meeting you for the first time. You're asking some of the same questions, but you're asking in a way that doesn't make us feel like, why is he asking us this again? Doesn't he know this? And that's because I'm not asking the same question again. I'm asking a slightly different angle of that question because I'm trying to figure out or trying to learn about something that I may not have heard yet.
Yeah.
And so because they kept pushing me on helping them be better listeners, and they said, you know, you do this really well. And then one of my clients said, you know, oftentimes when you do something very well, you take it for granted. And so you don't really know how you do it. And that's true with me. I didn't really know how I was doing it. So I'll tell you though, once I figured out that it was from a position of curiosity, true curiosity, so now I actively do that. So now before I have a meeting, I actively tell myself, okay, do you really care about this person and do you really want to learn something? If you do, then get curious. So it is now an active thing that I do, that I say, get curious. And so oftentimes when I notice that I'm having a miscommunication going on, I ask myself, hey, were you not curious? And so I'm not curious when I'm too busy. I'm not curious when I'm in a hurry. I'm not curious when I just want to get it done. You know, get it done and just do it, okay? I'm no longer curious. So sometimes you have to slow down to go much faster, but you got to slow down a little bit, understand the person, and they can go much faster.
Yeah, I think that's interesting because that's really what this is about. It's slowing down before you go into the situation so you're not at the conclusion. Because we often get this all messed up, right, as leaders, that we want to just get to the end. Let me just get to the end so I can move on to the next end, and I can move on to the next thing, and I can move on to the next thing. And we just want to get this. I have to meet with this person. I have to get this done with. I have to lead this person. They're going to blah, 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 and I'm going to say this, and then we're going to leave. Can I just get to the end? And that's not what leadership is, really, right?
Right.
The process is more important.
Right. And, you know, the late Dr. Stephen Covey said it best. He said, seek first to understand. Right. So that's also part of how are you going to seek to understand if you're not curious about the person. So for me, it's now a little mind trick that I do to myself. You know, it's just I just ask myself, Patrick, are you truly curious? And if I'm not, then I slow down. That's kind of my catalyst or my action trigger that I use for myself. I just ask myself, hey, are you truly curious? And if I'm not, then I just have to slow down.
And you kind of did that with me, right?
If you do that enough, then it becomes automatic.
Yeah, and you kind of did that with me a little bit, right? When we first scheduled the call, I think that you took an opportunity to slow down and put more time into it because the first time we scheduled, it just wasn't going to work because maybe you weren't in that frame of mind or it was going to be too fast. So you put yourself in a place where you could slow down first and come into something prepared as opposed to unprepared. Is that how you approach everything? Like you want to go into things prepared?
Well, so if I'm going to give you time, I want to make sure I honor the time, right? If we're going to do something together, I want to make sure that it's good for you. So when I realized what preparation you wanted for this session, I just knew I couldn't do it on Monday because Mondays are the days where I, you know, my Mondays are just bam, 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 meeting after meeting after meeting. And so I just knew that I couldn't get it done for you on Monday. So then that translates to us not having as good of a call, as profitable of a call for you that I could possibly do. So by understanding a bit more about what your needs were, you know, I said, you know, that's just not good for you. So let's do it when I can do it good for you.
Yeah, and I think that question of pace and leadership and leading that pace to make sure that you're fully present is part of being a great listener and as a corollary, a great leader.
You know, I had the great pleasure in my previous company of interviewing Stephen Covey. It was right after the 9/11 disaster in New York City, and he went to New York City to help the city heal. So we went and interviewed him, I asked him this question about working with people, and he actually showed me his watch. He had a watch where he showed time, and when you flipped it open, it had a compass underneath. And what he shared with me, what he shared with my team was he said, you know, when you want to work on process, you want to look at the watch. It's about efficiency. He said, but I have this watch because when I work with people, I want to remind it that it's about the compass. It's not about time. So when you work with people, you want to be effective, not efficient. But when you work with process, yes, you want engines, yes, you want to get efficient. But with people, no, you want to be effective. So choose effective over efficient, and you will ultimately achieve more. And so I think that was 2002 that I did an interview. That stuck with me for a lot, I mean, till today. I still do that. I go into my planning sessions with clients, and they'll have this agenda. We'll have this agenda. Everyone wants to get through the agenda. And I remind them that it's better to get a few things done and be effective and get great alignment versus complete the whole agenda. So it's not about completing the whole agenda. It's about getting effectiveness in a few things that you've chosen to do.
Yeah. So again, it's slowing down, being curious about the process. And I love the notion of the compass, because the compass to me is an alignment exercise itself, right? It's an alignment tool. It's to align yourself with true north. And once you know where that is, the map works. I mean, a map is kind of useless unless you know where true north is and where
you
stand.
That's right. So if you can be truly curious, right, if you want to truly understand the person you're talking with, then you can slow down and say, okay, I want to be curious and I want to understand you better. Then you can be curious. And then when you're curious, you actually open up your ears better. Remember when we were at EMP and Dr. Bell talked about assuming the position? Mm-hmm. Remember he talked about the kids, right?
Yeah.
Watch TV, assuming, getting focused. So it's kind of the same thing. I mean, if you truly are curious about that person, you will assume the curious position and you will pay attention. And you would then automatically ask questions. So I found that asking questions is very hard. A lot of my clients would say, you know, this is trending, right? Ask more questions, make less statements. And so a lot of my clients have to work on that. But when I got them to assume the curious position in their minds, then I found that asking questions became natural for them.
Yeah, because it's sort of that one action that rolls up everything else. Because to me, sitting in the listening position, you know, that listening position isn't everything. Like, I can sit in that position, but eventually my mind will wander again, and I'll be thinking about something else. But adopting that mental, emotional position of being vulnerable, open, and interested, genuinely interested and curious in what someone has to say, that's totally different. I mean, that's a totally different perspective.
So it's worked for me. It's working great for my clients, and I hope it worked for you and your audience as well.
That's great. Thank you so much for sharing this with me, Patrick. Hopefully I can bring you back again.
Oh, invite me. It'll be my pleasure, man.
That's great. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
What a great conversation. And I think that notion of curiosity really makes listening simple. I think that being deliberate about listening and trying hard to listen is sort of counterintuitive to the whole process. And Patrick, if you meet him, you'd see that he's an extraordinary listener, and it comes from a sense of humility. It comes from being truly, truly curious. And as part of that, a genuine interest in and belief in the fact that he's going to learn something out of every conversation. What a great conversation. It certainly has me thinking about what I need to approach in my professional life, what I need to approach as a leader to inspire that level of curiosity throughout my team, everywhere I am. Thank you for that inspiration, Patrick. Patrick's also got a really exciting new project that you're going to want to find out more about. Just check it out at rhythmsystems.com. It's rhythmsystems.com. I'd like to hear what you think about this, and I'm genuinely curious as to what you have to say about this podcast or any of the other ones. You can log on at papernapkinwisdom.com and share your story. Also, you can follow along at Wise Napkin. Finally, last but not least, you can follow the Facebook site where you can find out information about upcoming guests on Paper Napkin Wisdom. We also have the Paper Napkin Wisdom Leadership Academy. That's PNWLeadershipAcademy.com. It's now also available for you to apply the lessons of Paper Napkin Wisdom in a 14-step course to grow leadership in your company, in your business. My name is Govind Jayaraman. This is Paper Napkin Wisdom. Thank you for listening. make it a great day.